This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your daily source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. It is Wednesday for those keeping track, and it is finally April 1st. Stay tuned after the news for interviews with doctors on COVID-19 efforts in Puerto Rico, how to boost your immune system, and some tips for working at home. I don't know about you, but I have used the video conference app Zoom more times in the past 2 weeks than I ever have before. But how secure is the popular Hangout service? Radio MD's Bill Klaproth has more.
Well, we're living in a Zoom world now. On Sunday, nearly 600,000 people downloaded the Zoom app, its biggest day ever, according to Apptopia, which tracks mobile apps. In fact, video conferencing apps have been experiencing record growth as a result, topping 62 million downloads during the week of March 14th through the 21st, according to a new report from App Annie. For many, Zoom has become a critical tool in daily business communication and after work, as people are hosting Zoom happy hours, Zoom birthday parties, and using Zoom just to say hi and stay in touch as we all social distance and stay at home. So here's a few tips for your next Zoom session. Go for a clean and uncluttered background. If you're by a window, make sure you're facing the window. Don't have the window behind you. And try to elevate the camera or laptop so the camera is at eye level. Happy Zooming. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
So much of the news on COVID-19 lately is about a lack of staff, personal protective gear, and ventilators. But what exactly does a ventilator do for a COVID-19 patient in need? Radio MD's Scott Webb has this report.
Thanks, Caitlin. As you've no doubt heard, the supply of ventilators in the United States is well below the expected demand due to COVID-19. Roughly 1 in 4 who get the virus will need a ventilator to assist their breathing, as the virus makes it difficult for people to breathe because it basically drowns their lungs in fluid. Ventilators mechanically pump oxygen into the lungs through a tube that runs down the windpipe, and though the tube can be uncomfortable, these life-saving bedside devices are necessary to battle the effects of the virus. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
And governors from a number of states are calling on citizens to report price gouging they may come across, unfair price increases of products such as household cleaning supplies and hand sanitizer amid the outbreak can be reported to your state's Division of Consumer Protection. One way to prevent a virus, whether it's a cold or the same old winter flu that we're used to, is to keep your immune system healthy. We recently spoke to Dr. Jamie Salas Rushford, an internist practicing regenerative and functional medicine. He gave us some tips about maintaining our health during a pandemic, as well as some insight on how the crisis is affecting his home of Puerto Rico. Let's start with some prevention tips. What are some ways we can protect ourselves and keep our immune systems healthy during this time?
The best thing is to try to control what we can control, right? The virus per se is something that is unpredictable. We know very little about it. We know little by little more every day. But things like chronic diseases like hypertension, diabetes, asthma that is not controlled, we have the means to control that and actually put them under control. Supplements that, you know, we can take, multivitamins, vitamin C, vitamin E, supplements like HCC and different herbal supplements that can actually help boost your immune system, we can start taking. This is something that we need to take on a chronic basis, right? There's nothing we can do acutely to combat the virus versus preparing our bodies to be in the best shape possible to fight it if and when we get it.
How fast, realistically, can a person boost their immune system? Is that something you could do in like a couple days? And what are some supplements that would just help with that process?
The analogy I use is the seatbelt analogy, right? People that want to get injured in a crash and they put their seatbelt, but they forget about their brakes, their engines, their faulty tires. So the immune system is the whole car and how you interact with it, the whole body, right? It's a very complex interlaced system from the skin to cells in your body. So it's nothing that you can do overnight. It takes some time, but the thing is to provide the nourishment, again, like, you know, your vitamin C, your antioxidants, your HCC, which is a very good supplement that actually boosts your immune system. And it's meant to be taken chronically. All those things should be part of your daily routine, like exercise, right? And eating well. Here and there, you can cheat a little bit and you can eat a burger and fries and enjoy it, right? Happiness actually cures people in a way that gives you hope and takes the stress away. But you need to try to change your lifestyle in a way that it it aligns itself with good exercise, high quality supplements, high quality nutrition. Obviously, you're not going to stay inside for the rest of your life, right? Inside a room. But you can use this lockdown period to walk around your home, prepare better foods, maybe do less of that, of those fried, high carb, high cholesterol foods. And also, don't forget, like traditional medication. Again, if you're asthmatic and you haven't taken your pump or your medications in 2 weeks, now would be the time to start doing it, because it takes time for your body to stabilize in a lot of those chronic conditions.
Tell me a bit about, so are you based in Puerto Rico or where are you?
I'm in Puerto Rico. I see patients in different states. I'm licensed in different states, but currently I was here in Puerto Rico, obviously for the emergency. I have most of my family down here. Wanted to make sure they have food. They're taking care of my father's almost 80. So it's a high risk population. So I wanted to make sure everybody's okay. A lot of my patients are here that I was calling them to make sure they had all the chronic medications. But my office is active. So all my patients that I have spread out, we're daily calling them to make sure they have the right medications. They have enough of what they usually take, blood pressure, asthma, diabetes. They're eating well, answering a lot of their questions, because we're seeing a lot of things on the news. A lot of things might be great information. A lot of things might be confusing, and people get stressed. And when you deal with 60, 70-year-olds, you have to sit down and really talk to them to try to bring that stress down in their bodies.
Tell us a bit about what's happening in Puerto Rico. I hear that the restrictions are a bit more severe down there.
Doctors can go to the offices. People can go grocery shopping. But again, like everybody else in the U.S., we don't have enough tests to know exactly there's a cluster of people infected. So we need to assume that everybody's infected. But yeah, they're putting fines and up to jail time. And daily in the newspaper says they arrested or they detain X amount of people. They're breaking their curfew, which is anywhere from 6 to 9 p.m. until 5 in the morning. Again, if you don't need to be out in the street for what? Everything is closed. You shouldn't be outside, because what people don't get is that you might be okay, but you might bring the virus or the disease or put somebody in jeopardy that cannot handle the virus the same way you do it. It's a matter, you don't want to be responsible of going to like a senior living facility to visit your grandparents and give them a disease that, and you can be a light cold, but for them be a life-threatening pneumonia. Now we need to screen people before letting them enter our medical offices, do a triage on the door. If we feel they're a danger, we're not going to let them into our offices. So it's a matter of doing a balance, right? Of doing some sacrifice now, protecting ourselves and protecting others, and then hopefully enjoying all the liberties that we were used to, right?
Do you think the rest of the United States, the continental United States, I guess, would benefit from more of these kind of intense precautions that it looks like Puerto Rico is doing with fines and curfews and things like that?
Well, it's a big dilemma. I can tell you about Puerto Rico because we went through two hurricanes. We had a lot of unemployment. We have a lot of people struggling day by day. They need that daily paycheck. We depend highly on tourism. People are not coming in. Four big hotels closed and they laid off 2,000 employees overnight. And now you have, as a physician, I need to take care of people's health. But this is the balance. If you sequester everybody, people lose their employment. How can they afford medication? How can they have basic hygiene, basic food? And if they're not going to die or suffer from other preventable disease that being in that unemployment state can cause. So it's now we're facing this big balance of how people can survive if they cannot work for 6 weeks, right? Versus how we can provide good medical care to everybody. And it's a very hard question to answer, honestly. For me, I don't know the answer. If I can see people for free, but if they cannot go and buy their medication because they got unemployed, some basic Tylenol, how can you help there? You know what I mean? So it's a very delicate situation.
Tell me about what you're doing on Instagram every night.
Part of being secluded is that you feel hopeless. Social distancing does not mean isolation. And there's another psychiatric social aspect that people get frustrated. What am I doing in close quarters? Let's remember, most of us live in small homes, in small apartments. We don't have states of basketball courts and everything. We are confined to a little space for 2-3 weeks. And they're telling us that we go outside, we can get this deadly disease. You can comprehend how a lot of people are going to get mentally unstable. They're going to feel frustrated. And I'm giving a window for people to vent out and answer questions. They can have access to a doctor, they can write and they can see my face and I can answer directly. Look, you have this question, Ms. Diane, this is what I think. There has to be a social component. Again, social distancing does not mean isolation. and how we, as you know, the new generations, obviously I'm not as young as the generation that is very technologically advanced, but how can they innovate a way that everybody feels connected and feels appreciated and feels communicating with each other? And I think that's the next challenge. How are we going to deal with people's anxiety for them to understand what is going on? And I think as like you and your radio, me as a healthcare professional, we need to take complex things and try to digest it in a way that everybody understands. Say, oh, yes, I feel comfortable because I have the knowledge to understand what's going on. And I think that's the biggest challenge right now. People are getting a lot of very complex mathematical projections and curves and everything. And then we need to empower people with information.
You can connect with Jamie on his daily Instagram feeds at 8 p.m. Eastern. His account is at FitBodyMD. And how do you juggle working from home and actually trying to get some work done with all the potential distractions and stuff going on at home? Our own Bill Klaproth got some tips and advice from Dr. Roger Hall, a business psychologist, executive coach, and author of Staying Happy, Being Productive, The Big 10 Things Successful People Do.
So many of us are encountering a brave new world, hashtag WFH, working from home. So Dr. Hall, how can we be productive and stay focused while working from home?
Well, I think the first thing is to have daily rituals and have a place to go to work. So if you've never worked out of your home, finding a designated space for your work, even if it's setting up an ironing board and putting your computer on the ironing board, you know, that's better than trying to share the dining table with other people while you're trying to do your work.
So the thing you said that's most important for us to remember when working from home is to create a daily ritual. Why a daily ritual?
We'll go back to a book that influenced my thinking on it. It's called Daily Rituals. And there was a journalist who was having trouble getting to his deadlines, and he wondered if other people who were, you know, prolific in the world had trouble managing their time. And so he began to look at their daily journals. People like Emily Dickinson, Charles Darwin, famous artists, philosophers, scientists, they all had daily rituals. And most of them in their various different eras had correspondence, like we have email, and they had visitors, and they had meetings, and they had bills. But most of them, and these are the world-class leaders, got about 2 to 3 productive hours of work on their primary work done each day. So if you can get 2 to 3 hours of productive work done, and not including emails, meetings, phone calls, dealing with family, and on all those other things, you could be among the world-class people.
Well, I'm sure that's something we all want, Dr. Hall. So how do we create time for this highly productive work?
Do time blocking, which is find blocks of time that you will be most uninterrupted. The biggest problem most people have in open offices at work and in their home office space is interruptions. And what we know about people's attention is that if somebody comes to you and says, this will only take a minute, well, what that really means is it'll only take them a minute to ask you the question, but it'll take an additional 20 minutes to get back on task. So the important thing for you to do is realize every interruption is 20 minutes off of your best work. So I encourage people to do time blocking, which is find a non-standard time to do your most concentration-intense work.
So you just answered my next question. I was going to ask, when are we going to find time for this time blocking? And you said find a non-standard time. So are you talking later at night or earlier in the morning?
I know of a man who was the youngest man to ever make partner in his law firm because he got up at 4 in the morning, was at work by 5, and from 5 to 8 o'clock, he got all of his productive work done. Then the rest of the day, he was interrupted, went to meetings, answered emails. But by the time anyone else showed up to work, he was already done with his productive work. So you may have to get up early or stay up late.
And I imagine for couples with a family, it might be a little more manageable as they can shift duties back and forth to try and find that time for a time block.
It will be more manageable. If you're a single parent, you know, I get it. And realize that this is really only for a couple months. And once the couple months are over, we'll get back into our rhythms and you'll find that, okay, I learned some skills that I can apply when I go back to the workplace.
So if I have this right, have a designated work area, start that daily ritual, and find blocks of time for your most intense work. What else should we know about working from home?
So the more we spend our time marinating in fear-inducing information, the less we're going to be able to do our best work. So my advice is, time limit the amount of information you consume about the coronavirus. It is very tempting when we're afraid to seek out information. And I understand the appeal, but time limit yourself.
So don't have the TV on in the background.
Yep.
Shut off all the news notifications on the phone.
Yep.
Don't scroll through social media.
Correct.
And limit your TV news intake.
Sure. You can start the day with a news break, end the day with a news break. But in reality, you can probably get all of the headlines you need in about 10 minutes.
Our thanks to Dr. Roger Hall. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. If you want to reach out to us with questions or ideas, shoot us an email at COVID19daily@radiomd.com. That's COVID19daily@radiomd.com. We'll be back Thursday with more updates and hope you'll be joining us. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.